Nice to know I can only be stood for once a year. As you know, every Veterans Appreciation Day, we honor someone who really deserves recognition. And today we're looking at a gentleman whose first name is Desmond. If you'll put the picture up. Desmond was born 1919, raised in Lynchburg, Virginia, to William and Bertha Doss. His father was a carpenter, his mother a homemaker, had worked in a shoe factory. His mother raised him to be Seventh-day Adventist, also to be a strict vegetarian, and to be nonviolent. Before the outbreak of World War II, Desmond was employed as a ship builder. He chose to join the Army on purpose in April 1942, despite having a deferment because of his working in the military shipyard. Religiously, he refused to carry a weapon. He received great abuse because of that. Instead, he became a medic. And in 1944 in Guam in the Philippines, he was awarded 2 bronze medals, V with Valor, Exceptional Valor, aiding wounded soldiers under fire. But that will not be the last time Desmond would display courage. It was only just the beginning, the Battle of Okinawa. Here is his citation. PFC Desmond Doss, United States Army Medical Detachment, 77th Infantry Division, Urusa Mura, Okinawa, from 29 April to 21 May 1945. He was a company medic when his battalion assaulted a jagged ridge escarpment 400 feet high, and you'll see that on the left other side of the screen, otherwise known as Hacksaw Ridge. As our troops gained the summit, heavy concentration of Japanese artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire crashed into them, inflicting approximately 50 to maybe 100 different casualties, driving the others back. But PFC Doss refused to seek cover, and he remained under enemy fire with many soldiers stricken, carrying them one by one by one to the edge of that ridge, and there lowering them down in a rope supported litter on the face of the cliff to friendly hands. On May 2nd, he exposed himself again to heavy enemy fire, rescuing a wounded man 200 yards forward of the lines in the same ridge. And 2 days later, he treated 4 men who had been cut down while assaulting a strongly defended cave, advancing through the shower of grenades to within 8 yards of enemy forces in the cave's mouth, where he dressed his comrades' wounds and having made 4 separate trips to evacuate them all safely. On May 5th, without hesitation, he braved enemy shelling and small arms fire to assist a wounded artillery officer. He applied bandages, moved that officer to a spot that offered protection from enemy fire while artillery and mortar shells were falling all around, administering plasma and first aid during that time. Later that same day, when an American was severely wounded by fire from a cave, PFC Doss crawled to him, where he had fallen 25 feet from the enemy position. He rendered aid, carried him 100 yards, the length of a football field, to safety while constantly being exposed to enemy fire. He wasn't done. On May 21st, in a night attack at the high ground near Shuri in Okinawa, he remained exposed to enemy territory while the rest of the company took cover, fearlessly risking the chance that he might be mistaken for an infiltrating Japanese soldier that night. PFC Doss gave first aid to the injured until he himself seriously wounded in the legs by a grenade explosion. Rather than call for another medic from cover, he cared for his own injuries, and he waited 5 hours before the litter bearers came and reached him to carry him to cover. And you think you got problems? But PFC Doss and 2 litter bearers were caught in the enemy tank attack. And Doss, seeing a more critically wounded soldier nearby, crawled on purpose off the litter and directed Bears to give first aid to the other man. Awaiting the bear's return, he was struck by a sniper, shot into the shoulder, and received a fractured arm. With magnificent fortitude, he tied a broken rifle stock to his shattered arm and used it as a splint, and then crawled 300 yards, the length of 3 football fields, over rough terrain just to get help for himself. Through his outstanding bravery and unflinching determination in the face of desperately dangerous situations, PFC Doss saved the lives of 50 to 100 men while being wounded 4 times. He suffered a left arm fracture from a sniper bullet. They extracted 17 pieces of shrapnel out of his body from a grenade that he had kicked away from his soldiers. His name will forever remain a symbol throughout the 77th Infantry Division of outstanding gallantry far and beyond the call of duty. And for that, he was awarded our nation's highest award, the Medal of Honor. After the war, Doss wanted to continue his career as a carpenter, but because of the damage to his arm, he could not do so. In 1946, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, underwent treatment for 5.5 years, losing a lung and 5 ribs, before being discharged from the hospital in 1951 with 90% disability. He continued to receive treatment from the military, but an overdose from them on their antibiotics rendered him completely deaf in 1976. He was given 100% disability, but he was able again to regain his hearing in 1988 with a cochlear implant. Despite the severity of his injuries, he managed to raise a family in a small farm in Georgia. He married Dorothy Shuto in August 17, 1942, and had 1 child in 1946, Desmond Jr. However, sadly, his wife, Dorothy, died November 17, 1991, in a car accident while being driven to the hospital by Desmond himself. After being hospitalized for difficulty breathing, Desmond died March 23, 2006, and is buried in the Chattanooga, Tennessee National Cemetery. Desmond Doss, thank you, gentlemen, for the picture. Desmond Doss faced many giants in life, being mistreated by his own men, many enemy gunfire from the Japanese, his own crippling wounds that left him disabled for life, the loss of his wife of 49 years in a car accident, and the guilt, the giant of the guilt that he suffered for having driven that car. He saved others, but he could not save his wife. He would never get over that. Life seems to be full of giants, obstacles that we meet in our life, giants that confront us every day. But today we're looking at a classical Bible story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll turn there. The one that we all know, but it's more than a childhood story. It's a story that affects each and every one of us on how to face our giants. Father in heaven, help us to learn. Help us to understand how to face our giants. We pray that we might look to you and your word for the guidance, strength, faith, and direction in helping us to face our giants today. And if there are those today here who are facing the giant of hell, the giant of being unsaved, the giant of dying in their own sins, I pray they'll realize there's a warrior who died in their place, that they might have eternal life. Help them to come today to know you as their Savior. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Let me share with you the battlefield for Samuel chapter 17. Looking at verses 1 to 3, it's a very simple battlefield. You have a mountain ridge on each side. The Philistine army was on one side, the Israeli army on the other, and in the middle was a valley. And it is thought by some Bible scholars that because of King Saul's evil spirit he had, the Philistines decided to take advantage of this particular situation and go after the Israeli army. In the valley, Goliath challenged Israel. And in the valley, our giants challenged us. And perhaps maybe our giants of doubt, fear, problems and issues that we have, they know, the giants know we're weak. And because we're weak, they'll take advantage of that. That's how we face our giants. Goliath and his weaponry. Look at verse number 4. A sign and symbol of psychological warfare, fear factor. Here you find the giant, and the measurements may vary depending upon the commentator. But because of his height, he stood anywhere from 9 foot 9 inches to maybe 11 foot tall. Taller than our own Matt Moore, by the way. Verse 5 describes a brass helmet, very heavy. Scaled, layered mail armor to cover his chest and his body. 5 shekels of brass, that's 150 to 200 pounds worth. Leg 6, shin guards that weighed maybe about 30 pounds. Verse 7, a spear 16 feet long, the size of a small tree. A spearhead that weighed 18 pounds, the entire spear, maybe around 37 pounds. When you look at everything he had all put together, it was over 250 pounds of armor and weaponry. He carried a small man with him. That's how heavy it was. Verse 7, we find here that God purposely gave us all of this about Goliath. He purposely showed us Goliath and his weaponry. Why? Because God was trying to show all of us how little Goliath really is and how big our God really is. You're not to worry about the giants of your life. You look to your God. He is mighty. He is strong. He is powerful. Look at verse 8 to 10. Goliath said to us, give me a man. Give me a man. Send somebody to fight me and winner take all in each way. And Goliath did not know what was about to come before him. Verse number 11, before David ever got to the battlefield, Saul and all Israel were afraid. It's not the same Israel we see it today, is it? No. The sounds and sights of Goliath. Verse 16, Goliath would go out twice a day, 40 days, twice a day. Sometimes you and I have giants that come after us more than once a day. It will be more than 40 days, day in, day out, day in, day out. You face your giants. They wear you down. They're overwhelming. They can get the best of you. That's what the giants want to do. They want to get the best of us. The fears, they will come out and taunt us and yell at us and shake the very foundation, the very heart of our Christian life. They may even take the joy out of you being a Christian. But if we trust in the Lord, that'll never happen. You and I can sing David's song. David, the very one that went after Goliath. And Psalm 18, 1, 2, and 3. I will love thee, O God, my strength, the Lord of my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, and he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. That is a song that David sang against his enemy, that hand. Is that your song today? Is that your song that you have against your enemies? It can be. It can be your song against your giants. Whatever it might be, the song that says, hey, I'm not afraid of you. I have a God who can deliver me against you. That can be your song. Let Psalm 18 be your song. Amen. David had 3 brothers. They served in the army with Saul. Jesse, the father, sent David to go and send food to them. Giants strike fear in all of us. David went to the battlefield. Rather than being uplifted as a young boy, rather than being encouraged, rather than seeing the battle and saying, all right, I want to see the victory. He saw his brothers scared. He saw them fearful. He even heard that his king was scared. His king was fearful. You know, giants strike fear in all of us. And David here saw the fear there with his army and with his king and with his brothers. So what did David do? Did he cower back? Did he go back home to the sheep? No. David, number one, faced his giants with confidence of faith. It didn't deter him. He went on. Confidence of faith. He went to the battlefield. His faith wasn't about his ability. His faith certainly wasn't with his brothers. His faith certainly wasn't with his king. His faith was with his God. And you can face your giants in the faith of your God as well. Verses 20 to 25. When David arrived in the battlefield, he saw and heard two things. He heard Goliath, and he heard the wailing and the weeping of Israel and his brothers. He heard from the brothers, David, have you seen this guy? He's big. He's huge. He's mighty. They painted all the pictures badly. But what did David do? Verses 26 to 28, his brothers even accused him. What are you here? You want to get away from the sheep? You just come from the glory of the battle. That's all you want. David shoved them aside. He paid no attention to the accusation of his brothers. He had more important things to do. He was there to protect the name and the honor and the glory of his God. If nobody else would, David would. Sometimes our giants come from within our own family. Sometimes our giants are those who discourage us. You're not going to go to church again, are you? Come on. Wednesday night, are you kidding me? We got more important things to do. There are giants within your family that don't want you to be faithful. They don't want you to be active. They don't want you to serve their Lord. They are trying to discourage you. Don't let them distract you from serving the Lord. Show the confidence that you have in your Lord while at the same time taking the insults David did. Military training will teach you to do more than you ever thought you could do. And Christian, you can do more than you ever thought you could do as well. In the military, we had, for many of us, had an enemy or had a friendly soldier 50 yards ahead of us. He was there acting like he was wounded. Our job in practice, in training, was a zigzag run to him, pick him up and his field equipment and his rifle and zigzag back as if to dodge enemy fire. We did our own Desmond Doss during that time. You did more in the military than you ever thought you could do. Christian, in Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No, I can't go out visiting. No, I can't teach a Sunday school class. No, I can't visit. You can do more in Christ than you ever think you could do. Amen. If you let it, if you allow. Verse 29, David told his brothers, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David defended the glory of God in his name and his cause. Hey, do you believe in the cause of Heritage Baptist Church? Do you believe in the cause that we have of sending missionaries out around the world? Do you believe in the cause of winning the lost to Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the cause of what we're doing here? Or are you like David's brothers, sitting on the sidelines, letting somebody else go to the valley and fight the giants on your behalf? Do you believe in the cause that we have here at our church? Most of Saul's army saw only one man, the giant. But that's not who David saw. David saw someone who was greater than the giant. He saw his God. He knew what his God could do. He knew how strong and mighty and powerful. When you see your giants, do you see them or do you see your God? Amen. Who do you see when trouble comes? Who do you see when problems happen? Who do you see that lies in your way? Your giant or your God, who can solve them for you. Verse number 33, he went to King Saul. He volunteered to fight Goliath. Fearfully, Saul tried to talk him out of it, just as family and friends will try to talk us out of serving the Lord. In verses 34 to 37, David tells Saul how God had delivered him from the lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Sorry, Wizard of Oz, Kansas guy. It was good for David and good for Saul and good for us to be reminded of past victories. If God was victorious in the lions and the tigers and the bears, God can be victorious over a giant. Whatever victories you've had in your life, whatever answered prayer you've had in your life, hey, wait a minute. That same God that was victorious past can be victorious now. Don't fear those giants in any way. We need to be reminded. Verse number 37, Saul said, go and may the Lord be with you. Saul knew he didn't have the faith. Saul knew he could not do it. Saul knew he didn't have the faith to fight Goliath, so guess what he did? He let a teenager full of faith fight the battle for him. Teens, you can be an example to all of us. Many of you are strong in your faith. Show us the faith that you have in the Lord. Show us what you've learned at youth camp. Show us how you've learned to be strong and mighty for Jesus Christ. We need to see it. We need to take example. We can live by the strength of these teens. Verse 38, 39. Look at what Saul tried to do. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You'll find that there will be others that will offer you their own solutions. Well, when I was in this situation, here's what I did. When this happened to me, here's what I did. Here's how I handled it. No, 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 no. You go with what you know works. You go and talk to God on your own. Don't take other solutions, because you have a God who tailor makes every answer to your needs and to your problems. That may not be everybody else's, but it's what God has in store for you. Guess as David. David had never ever experienced the fighting of a giant. But guess who has experience in doing so? God! David's God had experience in fighting Goliath. And God has experience in fighting the giants you can handle. Go to him. Trust him. Believe him. Honor him. And he'll help you today. David faced his giants personally by confronting them. Verse 40. David knew how God had blessed before, and so he confronted his giants, and he knew how to do it best. 5 stones and a sling. There are churches and Christians today who are always on the lookout for something new, always on the lookout for something new in the Christian faith. But guess what? The tried and proven old Word of God and the hymns that we sing have never disappointed Christians today. They've never been defeated. Never, never. And guess what? They'll still work on the battlefield of your life today. Christian warrior, our weapon today to confront the giant is the Word of God. It's tried and proved. But do you know how to use the Word of God? Are you ignorant when giants come around? Do you know how to use your weapon? Every military man has to know how to use his weapon. He's got to clean it. He's got to take it apart. He's got to put it back together again. He has to know every detail of his weapon. Do you know the details needed to help you fight the giants of your life? You should. And that's why we're here at Heritage Baptist Church. Our job is to try to help you know and learn and train in the Word of God to fight the giants of your life. David confronted his giants by not cowering down, not fearing him. Verses 41 to 42, Goliath had contempt for David's size, his youth, And he thought he was being mocked. He thought he was being disrespected. What? You sending out this little bitty boy to come after me? Come on. Are you disrespecting me? Guess what? Goliath was right. He was being disrespected. David did not respect him. David did not fear him. We find that Satan will disrespect us. Satan will mock us. Our giants don't need our respect. When you fear your giants, you're honoring them. Don't fear your giants. Don't give them any respect. Don't pay them any attention. Don't give them any acknowledgement. Giants crave pride, and pride is wanting to be known, wanting to be acknowledged, wanting to be feared. Don't fear your giants. David never did. He never did. Our giants don't need our fear. They don't need our respect. They don't need our recognition. Don't give it to them. Amen. We can confront our giants because we fear the Lord instead. Amen. He's the one we fear. He's the one we honor. He's the one we acknowledge. Too many times Christians cower, stick their thumb in their mouth as if, I'm so afraid, I don't know what to do. You've got a great God, don't you? Serve him, honor him, call on him. He'll help you in your life. Too many times we cower down. We let the enemy give and have victory. Today, we are a child of God. As a child of God, we don't cower down. As a child of God, we have to stand. And having done all, stand against our giants in our life. Take charge of your life. Take charge. Stand. Having done all, stand. Show those giants you don't fear them. Because as a child of God, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Verses 43 to 44, Goliath trash talked him. I'm going to feed you to the birds. You're going to be bird food by the time I get done. David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? In case you need to know it, and you don't know your weapon, the word yet, Psalm 27:1. That's Psalm 27:1. That's Psalm 27:1. Write it down. Know where it's found, because you need your weapon against the giants of your life. Finally, facing our giants, challenging them. After Goliath's trash talk, David stood up to the challenge and challenged him face to face. Don't back down. Don't cower down. Face to face. Stand. Having done all, stand. Arming up. Look at verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's where he came. And my friend, that's how you can come and meet your giants. You come, not in your name. You come in the name of the Lord. We find that he began to arm up. Verse number 47, 46 to 47, he looked up. David had this promise, the battle is the Lord's. Look at it. Verse number 46 and 47. And this day will be the Lord deliver thee on my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcass of the host to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that thou, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Do you have that written down? Do you have that highlighted? If you're going to use your weaponry, use it. Have it written down. Know that the battle is the Lord's. It's not because of you. You go in the name of the Lord. You go with his strength. You go with his power. You go with his word. Yes, and we find that David here knew the Lord was with him. And wrapping it up, we find here verses 48 to 51, David ran. Note this. Look at verse number 48. And it came to pass that when Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran. He did not run away from his giant. He ran towards his giant. in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly that he had strength. He knew exactly victory was his. As the Bible teaches us, he ran toward the giant, took out his stone, and struck him in the forehead. Some Bible scholars believe that maybe he was stunned, and that David ran to finish off the job. He picked up Goliath's heavy sword that weighed so much, and this little boy probably stumbled back and raised up that sword, and went, wow! And off came the head. Cut off his head with extreme prejudice against giant Goliath. Why do I say it that way? Because you don't give the giant any honor. Cutting off the head of the giant gives them dishonor. You don't recognize them. They're gone. They're no longer alive. They're out of this world. When the Israeli army couldn't do it, a simple shepherd boy with great faith did. Now, just kind of let you know that today in the Israeli army, there's a missile system that Israel has. It'll shoot down enemy aircraft and enemy missiles called David's Sling. Besides Iron Dome is David's Sling. Mopping up here that Goliath's head and armor were put on as trophies in verses 52 to 54. Today, we have before you, if you come, a basket up front. And if you come to have your giants beheaded, you can take, like David, a souvenir stone. A stone, a head, something of Goliath to show, my enemy is dead. Oh, by the way, this will be good at yapping dogs in the neighborhood. Just wanted to let you know. But anyway, hey, take a stone. Let the Goliaths of your life, let the giants of your life know. You're done for, fella. You don't come around here anymore. As we wrap it up, your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I've taken some time. Some of you Christian warriors have problems today. You had giants that faced you when you came to church, and they'll face you when you go back home. And you know your giants face you no matter what. With your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to raise your hand if you have giants waiting you, facing you, problems for you, and you want us to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Yes, Pastor, I have a giant. There are several hands. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Giants plague your life. Remember, you can face your giants in confidence because you have a great God instead. Remember, you can confront them by standing up before them, not cowering down. You're on the winning side. And remember, you can challenge your giants. They're bullies. They do not deserve your respect. They do not deserve your fear. They do not deserve your acknowledgement. The battle is the Lord's. And so with your head bowed, eye closed, when our invitation is given, I'm going to ask you to do like David. I'm going to ask you to run to the altar. Those of you who raised your hand and you say, I want to face my giant. I want to face him with extreme prejudice, and I want to cut off his head. This altar is where you can do that today. And you can take a stone back as a trophy, like David did, the head of Goliath and his armor, and display it. Remember, remember, giants fall. Giants fall. Have your giants fall today at this altar. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He died that you might have eternal life. He is a warrior who went to bat for you. He's a warrior that died in your place. He's a warrior that bled and died. But thankfully, he crushed the head of his giant, Satan, by coming back from the dead. The resurrection. The Savior rose up for us. He won over sin. Today, you can have victory in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless today's invitation. For those who have giants, for those who are facing giants, they're mocking them. They're ridiculing. They're making fun of them. They make them cower down. That's what giants do. But Father, we today, as a child of God, don't have to take that. As a child of God, we can come and be on our knees at this altar and slay giants before us. Get the victory in our lives. And if there are those here today that never, never trusted in your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that today will be their day of realizing that Jesus Christ died in my place. I have a warrior on my side, one who is victorious. And I do not have to die and go to hell. I can die and go to heaven to be with my Savior, Jesus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have you stand? If you raise your hand here, the battle can be won. Come to this altar. Come here today. Have your giants defeated as we sing our invitational song. Come. Slay those giants. Cut their heads off right here. Right here. Do it. With extreme prejudice, do it. Right here. If you're being defeated over and over again by the devil, you come. Don't let him win. Don't back down. Stand, having done all the stand, come. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you come. You've never been saved. You don't know. If you were to die right now, where'd you go? Come. Someone will take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Come. Receive Christ as your Savior right now. Come. Here's where the victory is, right here. Come. Take a stone as a trophy of your victory. Let the devil know you're not going to win. Come. Come. Another verse is played. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain.
Good to see so many come this morning to the altar.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
All right. If you'd be seated, give a couple of announcements. By the way, what a great message. I know we're going long today, but I do think I don't want to repeat the message, but I do want to say, give me 2 minutes. There's seasons of life, and there's seasons in time which I have pastored this church and others. And more so than in the last 10 or 15 years, I see fear. You know, we had the fear of COVID and all the things that happened a couple years ago, but it seemed like it has been very prominent in the last few weeks. I've dealt with people who are afraid of what's going on in our government, what's going on with the administration and all these things. And now the fear of what's going on in Israel. I'm thankful that America supports Israel. By the way, my comment before was, Israel is there and standing because America has stood with her. But be careful. If America didn't do it, God would raise up somebody else. Because God's not going to allow Israel to be destroyed. So I'm thankful God is using America to do that. And we better stand behind Israel. And God says He'll bless those who bless the nation of Israel. He'll curse those who don't. And so I'm thankful the America Students, but just the fear that's going on in our society. You know, oh man, the economy. Well, again, God's bigger. Amen. Bigger than the giant of the economy, bigger than the giant of politics, bigger than the giant of, war and rumors of wars. God's bigger than the report you got from the doctor. God's bigger than that family relational issue going on in your life. I'm just telling you a lot of things going on today, and I just want to commend Brother Cox. What a message, reminder. God's bigger. God is bigger than our giants. That's a very good message. All right. Ushers, if you'll come forward, take up the offering this morning, read the bulletin. There's things in there you ought to be reading. I will say one, I do want to mention one, and that's the Operation Christmas Child. This is the last Sunday for us to put those boxes together for you to help send a gift to a needy child around the world, and also the gospel. The gospel is included in that box. And Miss Gentry will be at the back. Are you going to be at the back this morning? So we're a little behind last year. Are we catching up last year or not? Okay. We're a little behind what we did last year. We did about 88 boxes, I think, last year. We were around 50 here recently. We had about $100 come in, whereas last year we gave about $1,200. And so just want to encourage you, this is a worthwhile investment in needy children around the world. This is through the Samaritan's Purse, through the Brother Graham's Association. They are good stewards, by the way, of their finances. It's an amazing association. So I want to encourage you to get with Miss Gentry back here. If you want to be a part of Operation Child, either take a box or you can pay $10 and, be a part of the box or whatever you would like to do and be a part of that. So that'll be my only announcement this morning. Our medical missions team got back yesterday from Oklahoma. Oklahoma needs missionaries. No doubt. Like the state of Samaria. All right. Some of y'all get that one, some of you don't. Medical missions, 409 patients. This is with six people, by the way, six of our team, and 157 accepting Christ as their Savior. And I know I always clarify, that 157, that was one-on-one evangelism, not some pray the prayer, here you go, raise your hand, count the hands. No. Again, one-on-one evangelism. What a blessing. It was, by the way, the Bradley's building's packed from the last time we were there. they need a building and they need land. And so that's a blessing to see Alex, the van driver from last time, saw his mom come to church and get saved this time. And so Alex helped with the clinic. And just amazing things going on. And by the way, we also sent supplies to the hurricane relief effort there in Mexico as well. And so just a blessing. I appreciate the Jameses and all they do and heading that up and being a part of that. So our missionaries of the week are Lamel, Javier to the Philippines, and then Brother John Matney there in South Africa. Remember these two missionaries in your prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the offering. We pray, God, that you would use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to have the Osborne family come this morning to join our church, Brian and Ashley and their children, and they're coming from the First Baptist Church of Cottondale, and their purpose in doing this is to help Brother and Miss Davis, Lee Davis, with the church plant in Highland Village, and so we're excited about that and for them to come be a part of our church family, and so welcome them. And then it's good to have Tyler and Kim Ely come this morning to join our church, and we've been faithful visitors, and we're so glad for them to come and join our church by statement of faith. And then it's good to have the Donaldson family, Alan and Tanya, to come and be a part in the children. be a part of our church family. Again, joined by a statement of faith, and I've had a chance to sit down and talk with them, and I appreciate them so very much. I look forward to getting to know each one of these families better. All in favor of accepting them by a statement of faith, let it be known by a good hearty amen.
Amen.
And by Cottondale, First Baptist Church Cottondale. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit. Brother Charles Pugh, pastors there in Cottondale, wonderful church. And so we're so thankful for, again, these three families. Before we're dismissed, I do have a couple of things. Remember, if you would, this morning, Brother Mike Miles. If you haven't heard, some of you know who that is. Pastors over in Azle, lost his son last night. His son's in his late 20s, played football with our kids, and just kind of a strange circumstance there. It was in a car wreck, but was fine, and then passed away. And so, young man with wife, remember him in prayer. And I just, heavy on my heart, it's the Goble family, Jansen, Leanne, remembering both of these in your prayers. Richard Gross also, hopefully, prayerfully, having surgery this week. We've been praying for him. And so remember our church family in prayer. There is a finance team meeting tonight at 5:30 along with the pit crew meeting. Brother Wiggins will be conducting the pit crew meeting at 5:30, and I'll have the finance team meeting at 5:30. Highland Village, speaking of the church plant in Highland Village, we're going to do a canvassing this week, this Saturday at 10:30. We'll meet here at about 10 o'clock. We'll head over to Highland Village and do some canvassing. If you, I pray, come and join us. Come help us. And this can be just putting literature on doors. You can knock the door if you would like to do that as well. And then Worth Baptist Church is going to come out the following Saturday and help too, as there's going to be a soft opening in December. So we're looking forward. This is the church we're planting. Our church is planting this church in Highland Village. We got the building. The buildings look phenomenal and doing well. And so remember that if you would. All right. I think I'll end there. I know we're out of time. Let's all stand, but dismissed in prayer. You come by and give these families a right hand of fellowship. Let them know. I think Brother Ratledge is coming to dismiss us. As he's coming, it's good to see Zach with us this morning. Zach Ross, little bitty guy. He's going to arm wrestle me after church. And we'll talk about Clark tonight, but other things going on. Can I mention?
Yes.
It's time. If you have not heard, the Ratledge family. Well, the two of them. It's all that's left. They're empty nesters. His job is moving him away. So BNSF, we do not like you still. We don't like your trains. We don't like that you block our roads and you move the Ratledges away, who took 5 years, visited our church for 5 years before they joined. But they've been here a long time now. Yeah. Or 4 years. Sorry, I went five. I'm just exaggerating. That's what preachers do. He had no gray hair when they first came. I had hair when he first came. I cannot tell you, express again, as I talked about Brother Cox, the blessing the Ratledge family has been to us. Just what a blessing. And we're going to miss them. And we're just going to pray really, really hard that BNSF, or he finds another job and comes back, because there are kids and then grandkids at stake. And I know Miss Ratledge. By the way, the Ratledges were on the mission trip, and I appreciate them taking their vacation, spending their money to be a part of the medical missions team. What a blessing. I know we're way over today. You'll get over it. Visitors, thank you for being here. Come back next Sunday. We'll let you out on time. Brother Ratledge.
So, we got to set the record straight here. So we got back last night from Mexico City. It was not Oklahoma City. It was Mexico City. There may have been an incident on our fun day. So each week we go, we spend 4 days, you know, with the medical missions and all that, and we get set 1 day aside of the trip for a fun day. And so Rachel had the great idea to put us all on a zip line. There may have been an incident, but I'm going to set the record straight, because every time Rachel tells a story, that fish keeps getting bigger. Okay? So here's what happened. Evidently, the helpers on the zip line did not take into account my size. So at the end of the zip line, I did take a Mexican out and her ladder. But it was not my fault. It was the person on the ground who was supposed to break said size. So anyways, that is how it is. And so whatever Rachel tells you, don't believe it. You heard it from me. But anyways, thank you again for the thoughts and prayers. We had a very, very successful week in Mexico City. And I won't say any more because I'll steal Rachel's thunder, and she doesn't like that when I do that. So anyway, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for this church. We thank you for the ability to still and come and to be allowed to come and worship you. We thank you for the wonderful week we had in Mexico City. We thank you for all the veterans. Thank you for this the message that Brother Cox preached so, so, so good. We pray that you'll be with the new members that just joined and also all those who are sick and unable to come to church. Please bless them and take care of them. We pray that you'll just bring us back at the next appointed time. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.